Amen, Brother Melvin. Good to see you, and good to. And I guess the way I'd like to say that is that I get the opportunity to say and speak on behalf of the kingdom, and not deserving any of it, but God has just been good to me and caused me to be able to speak his word. So I'm glad to be here. I said to you early on, I gave you all just a little hint of where we're going to be speaking from. So the subject today that we are going to leave with you, hopefully it will be relevant to where you are, where I am in the 21st century, in year 2021. The title of subject that the Lord has given me is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? So with that thought in mind, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be alive physically, and not only to be physically alive, but you've allowed us to be spiritually alive. And I thank you so much for that. You've given me my right mind, my heart's desire is to be what you would have me to be. And thank you for the opportunity of being able to enjoy the life on this earth in a plentiful way. Not that I've earned any of it, but you just gave it to me. And oh, Lord, I sure do appreciate it. But better than that, you've given me life eternal. And that is, no matter what come by, Satan cannot get me out of your hand, because it is you who is keeping me and not me keeping me. Thank you so much for that. Bless this word and give me wisdom on how to speak as you speak to me. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I am excited to live in what I believe is approaching the end zone. I played football in the military over in Okinawa for two seasons. And then after I finished up my tour of duty with the military, I played 4 years of college ball at Tennessee State in Nashville, Tennessee. And when we would have to start deep in our own end zone, it was kind of devastating. But when you're way over the 50-yard line headed toward the goal line, and things are working and your linemen are working, and then you felt good. But other than that, you'd have a feeling that we got to get out of here. We got to move in four times, or we get four chances to move that ball 10 yards. And so I'm just saying right now that God has given us an opportunity to know that in this ugly time that we're living in, that even if we cannot make the 10-yard, he knows what to do to get us where we need to go. So the question comes then, is what in the world do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when the finance that you have and all of the finance that you see that you can rake up will not cover your bills and everything that you need for that particular month or week or whenever it is? What do you do when your family has gone astray, your kid going one way, you going another way, the wife going another way? Doggone it. I mean, it can get pretty devastating when you come to that. What do you do when the COVID-19 came upon us and running us raggedy and getting us going down the road to where we're scared to even move, scared to breathe, scared to get close to anybody? Putting on face masks and staying a distance and all these things. So the question comes, What do you do when these things happen? So I have a question that I believe come from Shakespeare. And that is, the question is this. Do you know you? Do you know you? Do you really know you? Do you really know you? How do you expect to behave when things come up that you don't know what to do? So the question is, do you know you? What are your thought processes? And Shakespeare says, know thyself, and to thine own self be true. So the question is, do you really know you? And are you really truthful with yourself? Because there's a lot of people who are running around. I heard this preacher got up when this pandemic first jumped up on us, the early part of the year. He says, I ain't scared of this thing. God's got me. And he had his folks singing, had the church full of folk. And before 2 weeks had gone, pastor was dead. His wife was dead, and I think two or three of the children were dead, and other members of that church was dead, literally dead. So the bottom line is, you got to know who you are and where you stand in God, and when it is that he's saying do what he does, what he tells you to do or not. So Shakespeare says, know yourself, and to your own self be true. So don't lie to yourself, because you may have to pay a big, big price for that. What do you do when your logic, now, and I've been guilty of this one right here. What do you do when your logic, your best logic, has failed you? When you don't even know what to do, how to do, or even how to think. So every logical answer has failed you. What do you do with that? And when your logic has come against you to the point to where your success don't mean anything anymore, and all the things that you've told people that you can do, it ain't happening. So ladies and gentlemen, we've got to sensitize ourselves to the word of God, which has told us, tells us that as we near the end, the things that are going to happen that we don't have any control over, and it can frustrate you and cause you to be in a position to where you just don't know what to do. You don't know whether to go backward, forward, or sideways, or lay down, or get up and run. So I say to every one of you, ask yourself a question and be true to yourself. Don't allow yourself not to be true to the person, the only person that you've got to lean on outside of the Lord is you. So the question is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You know, somebody come to you and say, Reverend, I'm in trouble. What do I do? And you don't have no answer for them. I had a couple who came to me who wanted to have a marriage counseling. And the marriage counseling was taking us down a road that was disturbing to both the husband and the wife. And so finally I had to say to them, you got to be true to yourself. And you got to recognize the fact that each of you have your own opinion. And right now, your opinion, husband, and your opinion, wife, neither one of them is agreeing with each other. So you've got to recognize that. And each of you got to let each other know and have the opportunity to be who you be. Because I don't know. You got to be, husband, you got to have to be able to be honest with yourself and say to your wife or your son or your daughter or anyone else that has been trusting in you, I don't know what to do. But the question is, what do you do when you reach that point? Well, let me take you through some scriptures that I believe will help you. And it is put things in perspective for me. Because I recognize I'm a stickler. Have always in all my life, I've been a stickler for my, what I call my ability to think and my ability to do this and my ability to, it can't nobody outthink me and all that. Boy, I tell you, I don't know how in the world the Lord ever put up with me anyway. So he had to let me get in a trick bag to the point to where I didn't know whether to run backwards or just consider myself dead. And when I got in that position, I was just right for the position that God could pick me up and shake me off, dust me off, put me in his bathtub and clean me up in such a way that I could be able to walk through what I didn't know what to do a few minutes ago. So I say to you that God is looking for those of us who will be honest with ourselves and not be afraid to say, I really don't know. All right, let's take a look at some of the scriptures that the Lord has given me. First one, let me give you all the scriptures that I would like to give you at this time, and then you can write them down, and then I will come back and explain them as quickly as possible. The first one I want to give you is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. The next one I'd like to give you is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. And the next one I'd like to give you is Psalms 46 and 10, verse 10. And the last one I believe I will go to, unless the Holy Spirit come up with something else, is Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 25. So let's take a look at those scriptures. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I think I've already submitted to you in times past and many other messages that I've been able to give since I've been on Brother Melvin's 100.9 show FM. And that was this. When I was a little boy, everybody telling them, me and telling my mama, there's something special about this kid. And some of them saying he's going to be a preacher and he's going to be this, be the other, and so on. And I wasn't believing none of that because I didn't like the preachers that I heard in my church. I had one preacher that I heard, Reverend Hippler, and he finally got me to come to the mourner's bench. And I considered myself, and I lied when I got off the mourner's bench, because in those days, you had to jump up and be shouting and excited and jump all over the place and holler, thank you, Jesus, I got it, and so on. And if you didn't do that, you weren't saved. But I lied and did that. And I was 12 years old when I did that. And I did feel something, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. Anyway, I couldn't understand why the white people had all the good stuff and us poor black people didn't have it. So I had a problem with it. I couldn't believe if God is fair and he loves all of us, then why ain't I got some of that good stuff too? Well, anyway, now I get to be 19 years old. Korean War is almost over. He called me to go to Korean War. And on the way over to Korea on a boat, a white boy named Bob pulled out his little, we played checkers for 20 games and he never won a single game in 20 game of checkers. And so he said, so I got up to leave and he said, Henry, do you know Jesus? I said, of course I do. I go to church. He said, no, Henry, that's not what I'm saying. So he pulled out a little testament and began to walk me through some scriptures that locked me in a hole, but I still wasn't totally fit and set for all that I believed that God had for me to do. Well, anyway, went on overseas, went to Korea, met a boy by the name of Billy Gray. He taught me how to play football, and I learned to be a pretty doggone good football player while I was on Okinawa. And then I was so good, he wanted me to come back to Tennessee State and become a football player there, a lineman. So when I got there and Billy taught me all of this, I felt like I was pretty cool with everything and began to walk with that. But I still wasn't really stuck clearly in this thing called just trusting Jesus. Remember, the question is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? So here we go. My years had passed on. 2 years I was on Okinawa, and it's time to come home. And I know coming overseas, coming from home overseas, it took 30 days. So I didn't want to take 30 days. And I got a chance, being now I was a corporal, and they told me I could fly home. But by the time they were ready to dismiss, here come a white boy who had more stripes than me, and he took my place on the airplane. And boy, was I mad. I was cursing. I was kicking my duffel bag and this, that, and the other. And I knew it wasn't nothing to this God that mom and them been telling me about all my life. And long story made short, about 4 hours later, the plane had been gone for about 4 hours. And we got a call back to the orderly room, and they called a formation to let us know that that plane fell and everybody on it was killed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it destroyed my little stuff. And I began to take that thing serious, that God knew what he was doing because he saved me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here this morning to speak to you on this message. Well, let me tell you, as we close this message, here he says, in all your ways, this is Proverbs, in all your ways, whatever you do, don't make no difference what you don't know. Rely on him. Trust him. Ephesians 6:13 says, put on the whole armor. You can't put on part of it. You got to put on the whole armor. So that when you run into something you don't know, God will give you the victory over it. Psalms 46 and 10 says this, be still, Henry Hearns, with your big dumb self, thinking you bad and all like that, and play football and all like that. Be still and know that I'm God. I saved you on this thing today. And I believe in brothers and sisters. So Psalms 46 and 10. Then Acts 27, verses 20 through 25. I want to close with these. And it says this. It says this. Paul was on his journey. And listen what he did. In verse 20, chapter 27 and verse 20, it says, there came a time when all hope was gone. Couldn't see the sun for several days. And all of that had happened. And here's what he said. I know who I am. And God spoke to him, and he called all of these guys that were with him and said, ain't nothing going to happen to us. We're going to lose the ship, but ain't nothing going to happen to us. So ladies and gentlemen, when you don't know what to do, I got three steps for you. Step one, stop. Step two, listen. Step three, obey. I hate to quit, y'all. I'm excited and ready to go even further today, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to say. And God bless you. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, glory, and honor for being so good to us that even when we don't know what to do, you're always there for us. Even though we haven't been good, but you've been good to us. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Well, God bless you today. We'll see you next time as far as the message is concerned. But I'd like to have you know that every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on Angela Hearns' Facebook page, I'm on there live from 8 till about 8:30, and we're speaking things that are relevant to time. So I'd like to invite you every Thursday night on Angela Hearns' Facebook page live. 8 p.m. God bless you. Thank you. See you later.